Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's...
All right, once again, welcome to Industrial Talk, the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates industry professionals all around the world. You are bold, you are brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you collaborate, you solve problems, you make the world a better place, and we celebrate you here on this particular platform. All right, we are broadcasting on site. DistribuTech, Orlando, Florida is the location. And because I work in the salt mine, it goes way around. It's big. It's big. And it's exciting. And it's just day one. All right. He's a legend. Right.
Thanks, Scott.
Right off the bat. He's a legend. Jim Thompson. He is the vice chair at Deloitte Consulting. Let's get cracking with the conversation. All right.
It's good to be here, Scott.
Good to see you again, man. I was so excited when I saw your name pop up in the my inbox. It's like, yes. Because you knocked it out of the park, just FYI. You know, if this whole Deloitte thing doesn't work out for you, you just sort of migrate to this.
We'll talk later.
Highly doubt it, because we met in 2022, and he brought the Truth Lumber. That was post, or yeah, was it
just post COVID? So the show was supposed to be in the normal timing of February in 2022. There was a surge in our wonderful friend COVID, so they pushed it back to about June. I think it was May June timeframe. It wasn't the normal schedule. But that was the first one after 2 years. You know, there weren't the two prior years. The conference was canceled for obvious correct reasons. But that, just reconnecting with folks in our industry live in person,
that's right,
was a big deal. And now to see where we are this time, 2 years later, after a great show last year, and then this one this year, it's incredible, the energy here.
Did the COVID incident sort of serve as a speed bump in the progress of what's taking place within the energy space?
Yeah, I would, not too much. I mean, the one thing about the energy industry and the power industry in particular, Scott, is, you know, there was no work at home for 2 years with COVID for the most part, right? Field workers had to be out in the field, power had to keep, electrons had to keep flowing around the grid. So it kept going. I'll say the obvious side of it was manufacturing of the gear to help with the energy transition. Obviously, supply chain issues, those are words we didn't all know before COVID. Now everyone knows the word supply chain issues. Yeah. So those did slow down to some extent. But for the most part, I was still on the ball and things still advancing forward and continue advancing forward through this year.
What were the topics? Please share with me. I mean, we had a great conversation. Of course, I didn't do my due diligence and re-listen to our conversation. But I got to tell you, I had a tear in my eye. You were so great. Anyway, what were we talking about back in 2022 and versus what we're talking about here in 2024?
Yep, I'll say it's not as much of a difference, but a progression on the journey. So I think back then we were starting to really focus on decarbonizing the world and the planet, you know, stopping global warming, trying to get us up to a point where by 2030, 2035, we could actually have a decarbonized grid, right, and decarbonized power sector. I think where we are today, so that was the, you know, it was just really starting to get momentum. And I think where we are today, Scott, the eye is still on that ball. I think the reality and the goal of 2030, 2035 probably tempered some, and we're looking more now a little bit later. Most public utility companies have set public targets in terms of when they plan to decarbonize their generation fleet, and that's more in the somewhere between 2040, 2050, more in that timeline.
Here's my challenge, and maybe it's way above my pay grade, which, quite frankly, coffee's almost way above my pay grade, but... The efforts to decarbonize, when I look at the asset base that exists in utilities, and it's just there's a ton of thermal.
Yep.
How do we effectively decarbonize? I think the time is so aggressive. I don't again, coffee's above my pay.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd say, Scott, that it's there's no doubt it's a challenge, right? I mean, there's absolutely no doubt. This isn't just to mail it in, it'll just happen. I think some of the public, you know, big people in industry have stated, look, the fact is by 2050, to get to where we need to by 2050, we're going to need 3 times the amount of electrification that we have today in the U.S. So 3x. So imagine, in the next, whatever it is, 25 years or so, the goal is to take all of the existing carbon-based generation out, replace it with renewable generation, and add 3x that amount to support electrification of buildings, EVs, fleets, the world. Right? I mean, it's an increase
3X.
In electricity. 3X. So you just think about that challenge. Now, I'll say this, Scott. The cool thing is that nobody embraces a challenge like the power industry. Nobody loves a good challenge. And so everyone's all in it to win it with this. But it's a more of a compact between customers, regulators, government, utility companies, everybody. Right, has to be in it together.
Do you think regulators are on board? I mean, do you think that they're nimble enough to be able to see it?
Yeah.
And to experience? I mean,
since I know a couple of regulators, I'm going to give my truthful answer, and they would back me up on this. I think, you know, regulators are in a spot. Their primary role is to look out for the consumer, right? For the most part,
exactly.
Right? They need to make sure that consumers are able to afford electricity or gas or water to their home. But just talking about electricity here at this conference, I think there's a natural two sides of a coin. In order to get to where we need to with decarbonization, you need a lot more investment in the grid and the solutions that control the grid. And, you know, whether it be wind or, you know, solar, obviously, and all the other potential generation sources that are clean, green, you need that. To do that, that takes money. How do utility companies get money?
Yes.
Through customer rates.
Yes.
So regulators are in a little bit of a quandary, I put it, right? Because on the one hand, they know that the push for getting the planet to a better place is real. And they understand that. However, they can't triple, quadruple customer rates over the next 20 years to get there. So it's a natural thing.
It is.
So that means how do you do it then? You have to look at ways to bring more efficiency to the grid today, maybe take less cost to deliver the electrons that are available today and in the future. There has to be ways that you can, I guess, get to a middle ground and understand that it's not all just about building new assets, right? It's about also how do we use those assets? How do we do energy efficiency for large buildings, for customers to have a, you know, the overall equation work? Because right now the equation's just a little wonky. That's my technical term for it.
I'll give you an example, a real life example. When I was a transmission lineman and we were talking at that particular time in Southern California, the service territory, is that how do we reconduct our transmission assets? You know what they're having the conversation? That was more than 5 years ago. Let's put it that way. Don't ask me.
Yep.
They're still talking about that because we need to push. We need more.
We do. And I think that, you know, that another challenge, obviously, not an insurmountable challenge, but the historical permitting and interconnection queues, that's simply a problem, right? Because you see large offshore wind projects that were put in and proposed 3, 4, 5 years ago that are coming up now, and the economics now for when it was proposed is upside down. And so developers, you know, offshore wind, just using that as an example, developers have a hard time moving forward with the plan that the finances were put in place with certain assumptions 5 years ago, because the cost of everything has gone up. There's, you know, it's been a challenge with the length of the permitting process, getting projects to start in a reasonable amount of time, and then they're upside down out of the gate.
So with all this said, we see the challenge. It's so easy to find the challenges because it is a very dynamic, dynamics. It's just how they interact and how they, it's just very dynamic. What are some real tangible solutions that can be sort of deployed immediately?
Yep. So I do think this, when we think about, and you know, we crossed the point in the U.S., it was called the tipping point for electric vehicles, right? So for EVs, it was always this goal of if new sales of automobiles in the U.S. cross that like 8% threshold, then that, you know, the stuff's getting real, right, as we say it. And you need to start truly focusing more on electrification. So the options available, even for just EV and EV fleet electrification, imagine if, you know, a local company that does, you know, line work in, you know, fiber optic work into homes or in one area wants to electrify their fleet and they have 200 vehicles. Every night, 200 vehicles are going to come to a depot and plug into the grid, right? You essentially need a new feeder. You need such a higher level of electrification. So that's not going to happen overnight. But what is happening is we're getting creative in how to provide that increased need in certain areas. So individual solar, there's companies that will aggregate solar, pay to put solar on your rooftop, and maybe 50 of your neighbors with the agreement that you can use it, you can have the free electricity, but when we need it because of a grid issue, we're going to consolidate it, aggregate it, and sell it back to the utility, right, to avoid potentially brownouts or other.
That's happening now?
It's happening now. So there's new market models that are coming. Again, this is new for everyone, right?
Yeah.
So we're all looking at new models. I think also the ability to look at the depot example I gave for a fleet. Well, if you're going to build a new depot for EVs, you can blanket it with solar, put solar back. You can use storage technology to store it, because we all know that, you know, the issue with wind and solar is if you have a 1 or 2 weeks with no sun and no wind, it's a problem, right? So you can store that electricity. Now, the cost of storage on the grid continues to get more and more manageable for not only utility-grade storage, but also for commercial buildings, for organizations, for anybody who actually wants to have clean energy stored to use it when it's needed.
That's a battery.
Yeah, battery. But yeah, sorry, battery storage. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I just
and there
to
are
sure.
other storage technologies yes. also, but battery's the predominant one.
Are we getting to a point where, if we can begin to store, there's a lot of news that exists in the world of battery manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making inroads into improving that type of ability to manufacture? Because it is.
We are.
It's all storage. I get it.
We are. I think one of the challenges in a lot of these technologies, be it solar or battery storage, is the availability of rare earth elements that are required. Right. So a lot of these historically come from parts of the world that right now have issues, and it's a little harder to depend entirely on those supply chains. You don't want to necessarily, in our country here in the U.S., you know, the idea is to somewhat have more of a domestic supply chain where you can count on component parts, rare earth elements for what you need to build these assets, right? And so there is focus on a lot of traditional, shouldn't say a lot, but there's a number of traditional generation facilities. As they're retired, they're turning them into wind turbine facilities or turning them into battery component manufacturers, right? And so looking at changing the supply chain to not be beholden to one particular source for everything you need, but look at having a broader ability. And that way you don't run into just everything stopping if your one supplier has an issue politically or something else in the world.
Yeah. And if you're at a point where we have to have 3X.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, traditional supply chains, manufacturing is not going to get there. Again, we're talking by 2050, but that, to me, that's right around the corner in this type of transition.
It is. And again, it's one of those. You have to be so nimble because it changes so rapidly.
Yep.
And we were at PowerGen, which is the sister
sure,
of this,
of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the conversations were around type of green fuels to feed these thermal units and being able to deal with that.
Yep.
It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, we've never seen this kind of change. I'm older like you, I'll just put it that way. And you know, there hasn't been up until
45.
The last...
I'm 45.
I might be a decade older in that bit. But we've never seen this kind of change, right? We've seen technologies come in and change a little bit when the advanced metering first came in.
Yes.
In a big way with the ARRA grants back in 2008-09 in that time frame. That was a big change for utilities, right? Trying to get those funds and invest it for new metering solutions that are safer, don't have to have manual meter readers walking through yards and everything. So that was a change, but that's like a drop in the bucket compared to this change.
It's nothing. And I remember vividly when we were talking about smart metering at that particular time, and it was like, no. You mean you can just sort of pull that information from that meter and then be able to down, and then it does this and that and you can do it?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. And then you think that's, to me, I mean, today that's just table stakes, right? I don't say we don't. There's so much, whether you call it the next gen AMI or AMI 2.0, advanced metering infrastructure 2.0. There's a whole new generation of technologies to give the customer even more control over the plans they want to be on and how they consume at their premise. So there's even though that was, because think about that was, Scott, 2008, 17 years ago, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
A lot of those assets now are depreciating and are reaching end of life, because, you know, 15 to 20 years is probably the reasonable expectation of life for those first generation AMI meters. So the next generation is going to even be that on steroids. It's going to be even more functionality and benefits for customers.
Yeah, but to your point, if we're going to try to get into that transition, that where we need to be, that carbon neutral, that is an efficiency conversation.
Yep.
And you need all of these unique, special capabilities
100%.
To do that.
100%, Scott. And I think we might have even touched on this a couple of years ago, but the idea that, you know, we all know this, you know this with your Lyman role from a decade ago. We'll just put it
a decade ago.
The fact that the grid was architected to have a big, gnarly generation point pushing electrons out. The entire equation's changed now, where the idea now is you will have thousands, millions of generation points, might be single solar on homes, might be wind turbines, might be batteries in EVs that when you plug them in at night can go vehicle to grid when it's needed by the utility. That's not how the grid was architected.
So close.
Not even close. So the big focus now is how do we enable through distributed energy resources management systems, how do we, through advanced distribution management systems, give utilities the tools and the solutions to manage holistically this complex grid with multiple generation and consumption points and thousands or millions of each.
I went to a system operator. It wasn't the ISO at that particular time. It was just, you know, here we are managing supply and demand, and it was pretty straightforward. Yep. Turn up your output over here. Then all of a sudden we start talking about what we're talking about today. And as a system operator, I don't know how they do it.
Yep.
I don't.
And it's changing, right? The game is changing, and there, you know, there's certain new rules and regulations coming in. So FERC 2222 allows for battery storage to bid into the wholesale market and the grid. There's so many different things that are all positive.
It's all
with the goal of reaching that energy transition kind of golden endpoint, if you will. But it takes a lot, and every time ideas come up, they have to go through the process to be blessed so they can be put on the grid. Because if you put the wrong thing on the grid, you're going to cause some problems.
And you're going to hear people complain.
Yep.
Let's say I'm a manufacturer. Let's just say I'm Scott McKenzie, homeowner, and if my lights flicker and it causes me issues, and I see that doggone light or my clock flickering at me, that bothers me.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So safe, reliable, affordable, secure power is everyone, when we walk in the house, different parts of the world, again, we take this for granted. We are blessed in North America, in the U.S. We can walk in the house and you expect the lights to come on. Parts of the world where I go, if you lose power, it might be out for a week, two weeks, more.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get mad if we miss like 5 minutes of the local football game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, go Bucks. So, that's the world that we live in. But those are the expectations that the excellent delivery of power companies have given us. They've made us assume it is complex. And every day when you flick on that switch, it took to get that electron to be right there is amazing.
And we
take it for granted.
We take it for granted. Yeah. You're absolutely spot on. But what are you... Let's say you and Deloitte are focused on specifically, what are you sort of, what's passionate for you right now?
Yeah, I think a big part of what we do, we have the four businesses, obviously. So we have consulting, tax, audit, what we call risk and financial advisory. I think across the board, it's working with our clients and supporting them across all those businesses at a time when their journey is in turmoil, in a good way, right? I mean, clients across the board, clients don't need us when things are just going just kind of steady state. They need us when things are going really well, or hopefully not as often, but if they go badly. But right now, things are going well, but it's a time for change. So we need to be part of that change with them. So it's just it's an exciting time to
be. You guys need to be the Sherpas.
Yeah.
Well, run with that.
Well said.
Yes,
Sherpas.
Because,
like it.
Because it's like, I have a problem, and this is so dynamic, I still have to carry on with my business. Yep. I got to do that.
Yes. 100%. The lights still have to come on every morning.
Well, I get on the internet and saying this stuff.
Yep. Yep.
You know, that's... So, with that said, Jim...
Scott.
How does somebody get a hold of you? Let's say they're real intrigued with this particular conversation.
Yeah, please do through obviously Deloitte.com. You can go down to the industries link and find me on there. Email, contact info. Not my home address, but they'll find me.
You never disappoint.
Thanks, Scott,
very
much.
You never do. His name is Jim. We're going to have all the contact information for Jim out on Industrial Talk, so fear not. He's a must connect. He's a Sherpa. As you can tell through the conversation,
he's touching
all points within this really dynamic environment. All right, we're broadcasting from DistribuTech here in Orlando, Florida. We're going to have a lot more conversation coming from this wonderful event shortly, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Jim. That is a connection that you must have. Jim. Connect with Jim. It's a bumper sticker now. I claim it. It's all Industrial Talk. Connect with Jim. You're not going to be disappointed. The guy brings just this, let's just say a semi full of knowledge and sage advice within the world of power, utilities, renewables. Connect with Jim. Mark my word, you will not be disappointed. Industrial Talk is here for you industrial professionals all around the world. I say it all the time. We are building a platform, an ever-expanding ecosystem that celebrates you. Tell your story on Industrial Talk. Be a part of this growing community. We're about education, about collaboration, and about innovation and how all that works together to help you succeed. Be a part of Industrial Talk. Be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Connect with Jim. Change the world. We're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned.